everyone's blown out of the water with touring.
That's true. It sucks touring wise. Yeah. But we are just like kind of trying to keep busy. We have a few new singles, 7-inches in the pipeline, because we have so much time on our hands. We have our own studio, so it's kind of a no-brainer, you know, to just keep working and enjoy our first summer off. And like for Nicke, it's been forever. He never had a summer since he was a teenager and he started touring with Entombed. So he never had a summer off. There's always something going on. And for me too. So it's awesome. So we can kind of, I mean, awesome. I'm trying to see the positive side of things, you know.
Yeah.
So we are making the most of it. And we have some music coming up.
Very cool. Awesome. Are you all going to be releasing that as singles? Are you putting an EP or an LP together, or can you talk about it?
No, it's going to be 7-inches. We have like several lined up, you know, in the pipeline. I'm going to put out some news about the first one that's going to come out, about where it's going to come out and what it is. And then throughout the year, you know, we'll spread them a little bit like Easter eggs.
Yeah. Very cool. Yeah, well, and that makes sense. I mean, a lot of the marketing has changed, you know, to where it's like, it makes sense to kind of sprinkle stuff out a lot of the times and then come out with an LP or an EP as well and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Well, so
yeah, we're not out yet because we asked our label, Century Media, so. We would like to release the next album, and they're like, oh, whoa, hold on a second, you just released one. So you need to promote that, and because we can't go on tour and promote it, we are just riding away. I mean, the singles are one thing. We are already working on the next album too, but we are not allowed to put it out for, well, at least not this year. So the good thing is we are allowed to put out singles with, we have a cool clause in our contract that even though we have a Century Media Records, they allow us to put out, I think, up to 5 singles, 7-inches, on whatever label we pick.
Oh, wow.
And Nick and I, we just founded our own label. Actually, I announced that today, so I can say it. Riding Reaper Records, and the first thing we will put out will be on that label.
Very cool.
Next month. So if you're interested, people, then check our social media pages or go to Riding Reaper Records.
Awesome. Yeah, congratulations.
Thank you.
Yeah, that's very cool. Well, you all have quite the pedigree of musicians in your group, and it's you just started the record label and you all have experience in the music world, you're talented musicians, and you have your own recording studio, and how'd you get started?
I got started as a kid because my parents always had records around. My brother was a punk. My parents were into, I don't know, like anything from Rolling Stones to AC/DC, Deep Purple. And I found my salvation when I was a teenager in heavy metal. And that developed, I think, when I was at summer camp, when I was 12 or something, I met the first guys that I knew that were into death metal. And they had a death metal band in Berlin and became my friends. And I sang on 2 songs on a demo cassette tape. That's how it started for me. So there was like a bunch of black and death metal bands in Berlin where I, like, because I was, like, one of the very few girls in the scene. So I was the one that they needed a female voice that was asked. So that's how it started for me, death and black metal underground in Berlin in the 90s.
Very cool. Well, so so what were you listening to in the 90s of black and death metal?
Well, first, before I got into extreme metal, like, like death metal, doom metal, that happened more when I was like 15, 16. Before that, it started a little lighter with Metallica and Guns N' Roses and some 70s stuff. I had my first flirt with the 70s then, but then I wanted to listen to stuff that's different from what my parents listened to. Mm-hmm. So I went, my first show when I was 13 was Guns N' Roses, and then Metallica and Danzig when I was 14 impressed me a lot and drew me over to the dark side. So he actually has a big influence on who I became, especially with the three first Danzig albums. And then doom, death, and black metal came, and I dyed my hair black when I was 16, and my whole room was black, black carpet, black painted doors, window frames, you know. I covered everything with black velvet on the walls, and like, I was totally, like, I even, you know, I was so into black and death metal that I even hid my King Diamond and Merciful Fate CDs behind the other ones, you know, because they weren't like hard enough. So I guess that's kind of what you do when you're a teenager. You identify with a certain thing. And then, you know, the older I got, the more I opened up again, and the further I started going back in music history. And now I'm kind of back where I started, you know. I listen to a lot of 70s stuff, a lot of rock and roll. I mean, Nick and I, we have quite a big record shelf, and there still is a lot of, you know, death metal stuff in there and some doom and so on, and we pull those out as well. So it's but I think the very classic meat and potato rock is kind of what has got us by the balls mostly.
Awesome. Yeah. Well, you know, and it's interesting hearing you talk about all that and talk about your influences and stuff, because you can hear it and see the aesthetics as well in Lucifer, which is very cool, because it's like, I love the sound that you all have created with the band, and there are bits and pieces of particularly your vocals that kind of remind me, you know, of like Heart at times and Pat Benatar and Joan Jett and stuff. But then you all have this darkness that kind of adds an extra flavor to everything that I think is really cool. And the music and the aesthetic that you all have and that you've married really works well together.
That's awesome. Thank you so much. Yeah, it's a little bit weird with the stuff that one does. I mean, it could be really anything, because you kind of take in all these very different influences and you filter them through yourself, and then out comes this like bastard baby. Mm-hmm. And if it works, you know, that's but if you say it works for you, then that's awesome.
Well, we're in really interesting times musically, you know, apart from all the political stuff and pandemic and everything. But musically, I feel like that we're in somewhat of a renaissance, because we're essentially 50 years into heavy music, heavy metal now. Mm-hmm. And so there have been so many excellent bands before us and so many influences that aren't even heavy metal as well, you know, so to be able to kind of ingest all of that and then kind of reinterpret it into something that becomes your own, it's really cool and really powerful, and you can see all of these different influences and where people draw inspiration from now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, what I think about that is that it's really hard, like, if you play rock or metal, it's hard to reinvent the wheel. Mm-hmm. And I think why there's some sort of renaissance, I mean, a lot of people go kind of backwards and look into the past. And I think that's just because those records were so big and so influential, you know, that came out back in the day. that they kind of outshined a lot of stuff that came out later because it wasn't as innovative. And I would say, you know, in the 80s, the productions started to sound like crap. And then, I mean, if we're talking about classic rock and rock and roll and stuff, it became kind of cheesy and horrible. And then in the 90s and the 2000s, you have a lot of abominations, I would say. You know, I mean, of course, it's just my personal opinion. But I think a lot of people pick up on the very classic old albums that came out 40, 50 years ago. It's just because they are so good and they are so monumental. And I mean, that's why you have, you know, Black Sabbath first album just got 50 years old and was on all the rock magazines. How many albums will be celebrated like that 50 years later? Right. You know what I mean? Maybe, I don't know if... like the impact that had, it's just so big. Then again, you know, if you think about other music genres like pop music and so on, it's horrible these days. Because even in the 70s and 80s, pop music was like songs, you know? It was very diverse and the songwriting was usually very clever and very catchy and hooky. But when you sit in a cab today and the cab driver has some random, because I never listen to modern, like contemporary pop music, you know, unless I walk through a mall or something.
Right.
And you get confronted with it. It's just so generic and horrible, you know, everything. I mean, mostly, I'm sure there's some diverse things as well, but, the mainstream stuff, I mean, shoot me in the head. It's shit. it's so much, I mean, if you compare it to how pop music used to be, you know?
Right.
That won't stand a chance. I mean, people still, you know, okay, Michael Jackson, Madonna, you know, all those classic pop icons we had in the 80s, all that stuff, you can also not compare to what's coming out now, you know, how much relevance will that have with what's out there right now in 20 or 30 years. Or maybe I'm just fucking old and I don't get it, you know.
Well, I have to 100% agree with what you're saying. Not the old part. the way, most production is being treated, in particularly pop music, and some other genres of music, is the fact that you don't have to be that talented because it can be fixed in the box.
Yeah.
And it makes it to where there's less soul in the music. Everything is, you know, timed absolutely perfect. Whether your drummer is, you know, following a metronome or not, or if there is a drummer, you know, it makes it to where everything is shallow and hollow and just overly processed to where it's not human.
Exactly. Yeah.
So yeah, I mean, I'm in a complete agreeance, you know. I mean, it's like, that's why there was such a, I think that's also why there's been a big resurgence in vinyl too, you know, to where it's like, I can't stand hipsters, but I also thank them for bringing vinyl back, really, because there's something about how it sounds on a record, that to me, it sounds better than it even being on a CD.
And that thing about the realness of it, because you can hold it in your hands. It's physical, you know, you can feel it in your fingers, the grooves, you know, while it's digital downloaded song from iTunes, you know, you can listen to it, but you don't have the experience of opening up like a gatefold album.
Yeah.
And pull out the lyric sheet and, you know, try to decipher the small print, like who are they saying hello to. And it's that whole experience And that's the same, I think, with books. You know, people have these e-readers and so on. Fuck, mm-hmm. I'm going to refuse that, you know, until I die. I love a book, you know. And that's exactly also what transfers to what you just said about pop music. You know, it's just, it doesn't feel real. Like, so it doesn't touch me.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, and it's hard to, it's like you can explain that to someone, but, and at the same time, it's like, it may be a generational thing, honestly, because I grew up with vinyl and tape, and CDs were a new thing. I mean, just kind of a strange thing, you know, that it's like you would hear about some friend that had a $600 CD player sitting somewhere, you know, it was almost a mythical creature for a minute. And, I don't know. I was listening to music before the internet existed.
Yeah. Same here.
So it was a totally different exchange in like how you even found out about music. You know, it's like I found out through friends. I found out through we had pen pal groups where we would send tapes over the mail. Yep. And magazines.
Yeah, I read like the rock magazines we had in Germany, like front to back, like everything.
Yeah,
and I couldn't because I didn't have enough pocket money to buy a lot of LPs. So what I did is I bought a few, but what I couldn't afford, I borrowed from friends and pulled them onto cassette tapes. And then you always had the problem, you know, the 90-minute cassette tape where maybe the whole album wouldn't fit on the 45-minute A-side.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Like, you would make tapes, and, yeah, the tape trading. I had pen pals in the 90s. I was writing with a lot of people in, like, different countries, like Sweden and Norway and so on. Exactly, just like you. And I kind of missed that, you know. And then there was also, we had like club night in Berlin every Friday. It was like, it sounds ridiculous, but it was like a metal disco. Like you had a DJ and they would play what the kids wanted to hear. And that was a great meeting point. And everybody always talked about the latest releases, you know, do you have that record? Yes, can I borrow it? Yeah, you know, that's cool.
Yeah, that's cool. Yeah, some of that needs to come back, I think, for the younger generations, because I think there are a few that get it, you know, like my stepson is 12 and he listens to everything we listen to. I mean, it's like, and we have a really broad library here, you know. I mean, it's like one day we'll be listening to Prince and David Allan Coe and Waylon Jennings. And then the other day we're listening to, you know, I mean, like Motorhead and you know, I mean, I'm a huge doom metal fan and 70s rock and like, I don't know, it's just, we're all over the place with stuff. And so he's become, you know, he appreciates different kinds of music. Like he'll be listening to Guns N' Roses one night and the other night he's listening to Black Keys.
That's awesome. That's good that he takes that on. Because my son, I started raising my son on AC/DC and Ramones. Like I thought I'd start with the classics that are easy to take in for mm-hmm. little boys, you know. And he loved that as a kid. And now he's like into super underground hip hop.
Interesting.
Mostly, you know. There's a little bit of Hendrix in there. And now he's not embarrassed anymore that I'm in a band. But, Well, I hope that at one point, because people also go through phases, I guess, sometimes right. musically, you know, so I hope that hip hop thing won't be the only thing for the rest of the time. I think as long as somebody is into music, you know, and into lyrics and so on, like a musical kind of person, I think that's important.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I think just appreciating music altogether is extremely important. And also, I don't know. I mean, like I was saying earlier, you know, I'm a big history nerd, so I like to know where particular bands and in particular genres, where they came from, how they were influenced, you know, towards like, you know, blues into rock and roll and rock and roll into heavy metal, and, you know, that kind of thing. And it's interesting. And you find really good music by digging a little deeper.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, because it spreads like the roots of the tree, you know, like it goes unexpected ways. And the great thing is about music that it's like never ending. It's a never ending source of things to find, you know.
Right.
Like Nick and I, we always, like, there's always one more record we haven't heard, or some like bargain bin record, you know, and maybe the band never made it, but there's like one song on the album that's like awesome and nobody knows it. And there's so much to discover, and I hope I never get to the bottom of it.